I realize that we are late by 6 minutes now. If you could bear with us, there is somebody from the legal department who must come here, I understand, for the responses from the department. It's just held up in the reception. We'll be in now. Honorable Mayor.
Thank you, Chair. Just two issues. The first is, I'm sure that all members are aware that the Minister of Defence recently lost her mother, Albertina Sisulu. And I wonder, Chair, or I propose that that you write a letter on behalf of the committee expressing condolences on behalf of the committee to the Minister. I think that that would be the right thing to do. The second issue is, I believe, that the Deputy Minister was due to address us today, probably on the concept of military veteran. Is that incorrect?
I'm not aware of any address by the Deputy Minister here. I'm not aware. Is there anybody else? No, we're not aware of that. We'll definitely draft the letter to I thought it would to the minister. I understand that in the last meeting there were clauses that were to be reworked, and we were waiting for the feedback as to how you did to retool those clauses. And then I would like the department to take us through those reworked clauses, and then after that we'll continue from where we left in terms of the clauses. Over to you, DG and your team.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members. When we left last agenda, there are specific clauses that we have been asked to go and look at and reconfirm. Perhaps by way of sequence, just to start with clause number one, and on clause number one, that is on page 3, line number 12, what the committee has agreed on was to add who is legally dependent. I'm just mentioning that as a point to recap, to insert legally on line number 12, on clause 1. And then further on subsection 2 of the same clause, to recommend that the subsection 2 to be deleted in total. That is subsection which starts with the words, notwithstanding the definition of military veterans, the minister may prescribe any force, unit, army or corps, the members of which must be regarded as military veterans for purposes of this act. That is the recommendation that we're making with respect to that. And then further on, to then move on to as indicated in the handout that was provided, to clause number 5. And clause number 5 is that which is dealing with the section on benefits relating to military veterans. The matter with respect to clause number 5, as raised by honorable members, was the concern about 5.1F which was the word facilitate. We did deliberate at length on that, and we are still of the firm view that it is a word that we would wish is kept in the bill, and hopefully then passing on to the legislation. The still on section 5, clause 5, would like to propose an addition, which is an omission on what actually does appear on the policy document, the policy report on the Ministerial Custom on Military Veterans, which is burial support. Would like to recommend that we add that section as a 5.1K, which means it will then follow the one with respect to housing, and to just add burial support with respect to that one. I'd like to pause here, Chair, and I don't know if there's any reaction so far from the honourable members with respect to where we started to this point.
As there is only one clause that is left, I suggest we just cover all of them and then we'll come back. There is 8, yeah? Yeah. Yeah, just cover them all and then we see.
Okay. Chair, on clause 7, you'll see there's a blank there. We needed to, and there had been agreement, and we're still working on that, that we need to separate those issues that may be taken into the regulations. Instead of having a whole draft of what is outlined in 7, that some get retained and then others then move into the regulations. So we'll not go into the detail of that yet at this stage. On clause 8 is on page 6, and there had been a submission by the committee, honourable members, and the parliamentary legal advice with respect to amending clause 8, and the formulation that we have now crafted before getting into the gist of that particular clause is to then change what is standing there as Director General's functions in respect of the South African National Military Veterans Association. Now, recognizing that the committee had ruled that the naming of the Military Veterans Association be expunged, but the principles be kept, the proposal that is then made is to then replace Director General's functions and so on with a National Military Veterans Association, and then to have an entry clause which basically says that there is hereby established a National Military Veterans Association, which is the umbrella body representing all military veterans organizations or associations. And then from there on, to then include the submission that the committee has made after consultation with the parliamentary legal advice, which is basically what then stands there in terms of A, B, C, and D, to then say the association contemplated, or no, to start with, and I'm now going to a separate copy that was distributed previously in committee, which is the one that is titled Proposed Amendments Regarding Clause 8 of the Ministry of Transfer. That is the one from the Parliamentary Legal Office. And on that, so to then say, after 8.1, which we are now proposing as an entry point clause, to then go into what is then contained here, that becomes 2.1, which then would read as follows: the Director General must, as soon as possible after the commencement of this Act, establish an association, and so on. The consequential amendments, having done the 8.1. And then to spell out two A, B, C, and D, which would be representing military veterans organizations in a fair manner, and then conducting its business in a fair, transparent, and accountable manner, and then holding free, fair, and regular elections, and then reporting to the minister on its activities. I would like to pause there, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, DG. Honorable Meneer, Honorable Masango.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to note that certainly as far as I'm concerned, I'm not sure if my colleagues share the view, I don't recall that we agreed to any of these amendments. I understand that these are additional amendments being proposed by the department. I do certainly, when it comes to, for example, clause 1 on page 3, line 12, the proposal was that we simply insert legally. I certainly don't recall us agreeing to delete in clause 1, subsection 2, lines 28 to 30, because of course those are contingent on the final concept of military veteran and whether we decide for an opt-in clause. So as far as process goes, I understand these to be additional amendments proposed by the department. We did not agree on these amendments.
Dr. Wu, before you go on, Honorable Meneer, what will be your position on this amendment?
Chair, I would like some time to consider the these new proposed amendments.
Honorable Masango?
Yeah, Chair, you know, last week I said the very same thing. You know, this is not normal, as I've been here in Parliament, the normal practice when we deal with bills, that we come with short papers and just keep on adding. I said last week, we need to come everywhere. Once we have inserted something, then it must be updated on this bill. It is either it shows that this is an insertion, it's either it is underlined. If it is something that is going to be deleted, it shows that this is something that is going to. But as more we carry on like this, we have inserted a lot of things last week Wednesday. But those things are not even captured in this bill so that we can see what has been inserted, what has been taken. Now, it makes us so confused because we are still talking about line 12. But according to the insertion that we have made so far, it is no more line 12 again, you understand? So we keep on doing things, but they are not updated. What is normal practice is that any insertion should be captured. The following day, we know what has been captured. We see it here, and then we carry on with the bill. Otherwise, we have amended a lot of things, and working with piece of papers like this is going to confuse. We are not sure now what has been agreed on Wednesday, what has been not agreed. Like David is saying, now, we didn't agree on this because it's not captured yet. It's just something, again, the department. We need to capture those things on a daily basis. As we made amendments or as we made additions, we capture them so that we can see what has been agreed, what has been inserted. Then that will make us our lives smoother so that we move with this bill smoother. But the way we're moving with this bill, we're really going to confuse because we don't know what has been captured or what has been agreed and what has not been, what has been inserted, what has been deleted. We are still holding the old bill that is not even amended after so many things have been added and deleted. So that is a problem that is going to make us a little bit difficult.
Yeah, do you have any technical problem in doing what is suggested?
Not yet. It can be done.
Okay. Let's follow it that way. Let's do it that way. I think it makes sense. Nazir, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, no, Chairperson. I wanted to check whether we have got drafters present because this is the way we have got drafters. And it will obviously make our work easier.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether should anyone comment on the comments made by one of my audience, but I want to reserve my input.
That's right. Honorable Masango?
Yeah, Chairperson, one thing last week I also raised and it's not yet properly answered. We have on the definition, okay, but I see that the DG is now adding legal dependent, which if it's added, then it gives us a better. But what we must just make sure that we don't have dependent as a definition, and then we have another legal dependent. We must just have one of them. Otherwise, it's going to confuse us if we have two of them, dependent with a definition, and then we have legal dependent. is going to make a little bit confusion.
Right. I think that is Comrade Daniel.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm not sure what are we doing now. Because it was said that the bill was not the insertions or whatever we omitted was not updated. And now we're going back because we were still debating proposal last week. We're still debating proposals from the Democratic Alliance that then needs to be updated with the bill so that if we agree with them, then we can insert them in the bill and then go back and deal with the whole bill. So I'm not sure where we are because we say one thing and we do another. Please guide us. Thank you.
You know where we are, Honorable Daniels? I think everybody knows where we are now. The department was supposed to go and rework some clauses, and the department has done so. But what other honorable members say is that it would have been better if every time these changes are inserted in the bill. We're not working with pieces of paper, and I think that was the understanding. Honorable Sanepun? My apologies.
I've been called many names today, so that's a new one. Yeah. Jefferson, no, we cannot. If we have discussions on amendments, expecting the officials to put it in the bill. Only when we have agreed upon an amendment, then in the end, we will get the amended bill. We cannot, every time we have proposals, then it's going to create more confusion. So with great respect, that is the correct process we should follow. Thank you.
Right, we agreed on the process. I think we agreed on the process that the whole bill will be amended and then there's going to be a resubmission by the department, isn't it, after everything else. And then that will be where we deal with the amendment. Honorable Masango, you satisfied? I think that was you.
Yes, it must just be clear before I'm saying I'm serious. What is added, the last week the department also came with additions, and we agreed on those additions. And those additions are not there. And as long as we carry on with those additions not there, I'll tell you, we're going to redo this thing again, because they came with additions, and we agreed on those. And on Wednesday also, the DA also put some additions, and some of the additions were agreed on. As long as we don't capture them yet, then we don't know what are we doing.
Honorable Mayor, or you want to make a follow-up, Honorable Khunnevald?
Chairperson, I hear what my colleagues say. I'm not so sure whether we really agreed upon the amendments. I personally said I reserve my right. We took notice of the amendments. And then at one stage you will have to go through the bill clause, actually clause by clause, and then every proposal will be put on the table, and then we can decide whether we agree or not. I did not agree. I took notice.
Honorable Meneer, I'll come to you now.
Chair, also let me deal with the elephant in the room. My understanding is that the department would also spend some time contemplating the definition of military veteran. The issue here is that 2 weeks ago, the Deputy Minister of Defence and Military Veterans, Tabang Makwetla, said that SADF conscripts and therefore possibly reserves were not military veterans. Now, we need some clarity on what exactly government policy is and what exactly the government's view is on the definition of military veterans, because if you look at the bill and if you look at the interim policy, the intention was that SADF transcripts would be considered as military veterans and could, provided they pass the means test, be eligible for benefits. Now, what exactly is the position?
Look, we are still on as to whether we should insert the changes every time we meet, or we must leave the changes to the final bill, which is going to be resubmitted again to this portfolio committee. But my understanding will be then that because there's not always agreement, some people may abstain, some people may agree. My understanding will be that, look, let's do all the changes are written on paper, are recorded. You see, it's not a question of that they are recorded because they are in the bill. They are recorded as we talk, they are recorded in paper. Now, we should give the department a chance to come with the final bill and all these changes and talk about them. Would it be that be all right for you?
Chairperson, on just what you said, I hear what the Honourable Mayneer is saying, but we can only deal with what is in front of us. You actually said it. But it must be also quite clear. I mean, we are the legislators. What ministers say is one thing, and that sort of thing. But what I want to say that we just can't keep on with the process. Every time we have a meeting, then there are some new proposals from the department. I think, actually, after today, this should be the proposals from the department. I mean, we can't every time when we meet receive new proposals. So I would then urge the department to say if they want any other proposals, then they must come forward and let's finish it. Because we cannot carry on this way that every meeting we receive some new amendments and that sort of thing, then it's going to be a never-ending process. So somewhere we have to make a decision. To say, with this meeting, these are the proposals. Why did we go through the bill then? Because we went through the bill. And these are the new proposals. And the process then should be that we go through these proposals. Because, I mean, here is some reaction on some of the questions we've asked. I personally asked clarity on certain issues. So that's what we received now. And when we went, and when we are through with this, then we must start clause by clause with the bill. Let there be progress in the process of the bill. We cannot wait every time for new proposals. Please.
Thank you very much. I think that is noted. If there is an agreement, the department presented its responses. If there's agreement and there's no any other thing, then we can continue to discuss the bill or deliberate on the bill clause by clause. I understand that we stopped at clause number 11. The last meeting, and now we must move to clause number 12. Anything on clause number 12?
Sorry, Chairperson, can I just ask the amendments that has been put on the table now by the department, when are we going to do? Can I ask a question on that, or are we finished with that now?
I thought you were satisfied.
No. I want to ask a question on that, please. Before you go then to the clause 12. Sorry, misunderstanding then on that one.
Okay. What is
it?
I do not agree with Honorable Groenewald that these are the amendments from the department. I think this were some of the areas that we deliberated last week. and proposed. Like, for instance, I will take you to the area of facilitation. It is an area that we argued and presented to the department and suggested that a rephrase should be made, not in the form of facilitation, but in another English. So now these are not amendments by the department. These are the responses from the department as far as our deliberations as the committee.
Agreed.
Yeah, you agreed. Okay. Can we continue? Right. Can we then go to clause 12? If there are any suggestions, question of clarity. Clause 12, none. Clause 13, Honorable Meneer.
Chair, in my document, I proposed on page 7 after line 17 that we delete paragraph A, which reads, must be a military veteran. That, of course, is covered and would fall away, provided we accepted the department's proposal to amend clause 13. I think that the intention is the same. In other words, that the minister appointing or choosing members of the advisory council, he or she should not be confined to the population comprising of military veterans.
This is clause 13, which subsection, Honourable Minister? 2A, or must be military veterans. Any other input, or if that is agreed, we may go on. There is no opposing view on this. I guess. Can we then continue to clause 14? Honorable Nazir?
Oh no, I'm complaining.
Okay. No, it's fine. Now, then can we go to clause 15? Clause 16, term of office. Clause, you are on clause 15?
On clause 14.
15.
14.
On 14?
Yeah. Who has the authority to gather? Is it the Minister of the DG?
DG?
It's the Minister.
The Minister.
Yes.
Right. The Minister. Can we then correct it? We are doing that now. What is the correction?
tshwere mo wena chapter 7.
Oh. Oh, we put the minister
in line 25, yes.
Okay. That's fine. Then 15, you agreed. 16, term of office. Agreed. 16, removal from office. Agreed. 18, resignation. Agreed. Meetings of advisory council. An easy one. Agreed. 20. Establishment of Military Veterans Appeal Board. Agreed. Powers and duties of Appeal Board. Powers and duties of the Appeal Board. Agreed. 22, composition and appointment of members of Appeal Board. Agreed. 23, the disqualification from membership of Appeal Board. Agreed. 24, remuneration, removal from office and resignation of members of Appeal Board. Covered somewhere already. Agreed. Number 25, regulations. Regulations. Agreed. 26, regulations are made under any law. Honorable Meneer.
Thank you, Chair. I propose a simple amendment. The motivation would simply be in this case where the minister is making regulations relating to the rights, benefits, and entitlements of military veterans, that Parliament also be consulted. So I proposed that we deleted the paragraph and simply inserted a new paragraph. The Minister, the Advisory Council, and Parliament must be consulted when a regulation relating to the matter exclusively affecting the rights, benefits, and entitlements of military veterans or their dependents is made under law.
You want to insert Parliament. Honorable Daniels.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I don't think it is our duty to micromanage the department. Ours is to do oversight over the department. Yes, the department will deal with the regulations, then they will come to us. We are not supposed to be consulted. We are already doing oversight. We are not micromanaging. The department will do. They will come to Parliament. We'll look at them. If we agree or we see that there are things that they are left out, but we are not being consulted as Parliament. Thank you, Chair. I'm not agreeing with that.
They will ordinarily come to the committee and say, this is our regulation, and we say we agree and we don't agree with that. That's what it means. I understand it means that way. Honorable Honeva.
Jefferson, I will support the colleague, but I don't see, maybe I've missed it, and I completely agree that the regulations in the end must be approved by Parliament. That's our job, actually. But where do we say it in the bill? That after the the drafting of the regulations. So I fully support that, but I think then we must just look at the wording somewhere where it is quite clear that the regulations be submitted to Parliament for approval.
Is it not put by parliamentary procedure that that should be done?
I wanted to say there are two sections dealing with regulations, section 25 and section 26. Mm-hmm. Yes, section 26 refers to a regulation done under any other law by any other department.
Okay.
Not to exclusively by Department of Military Veterans only.
Oh, that's 26.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Honourable members, I think that answers our questions. 27th funding.
But then we must come back.
Okay.
Then I'm not so sure whether it is a standing order that regulations has to be approved by Parliament. Can somebody help us? I'm not aware of it. I see the officials shook their heads. It's not a standing order. So that's why I would say that then maybe we should go back to clause 25. I'm thinking quickly now that the minister may, subject to the provisions of this act, make regulations and then include somewhere and submit to Parliament for approval.
Mayor, Honourable.
Thank you, Chair. I think that sounds to me like a sensible suggestion or sensible proposal, and I think that we should amend clause 25 accordingly.
You wanted to give direction?
Yes. No. I wanted to say there are regulations that are sometimes approved by Parliament, but are those that are not approved. We are now redrafting the general regulations for defense. There are about 20 set of regulations that we are not submitting them to Parliament. It's not only the Minister and the Chief Civil Advisor, but there are regulations under CCW Act, the Conventional Weapons Act regulations. They are in fact submitted to Cabinet, I think, for approval. I think it just depends what type of regulation. I think the members can decide if they want the regulation under this act to come to them also.
Okay. Honourable... Oh, Mr. Digi.
Thank you. No, I was going to actually come to the same point that the colleague has raised, that the regulations to the Defence Act, which is 20 chapters, did not serve before Parliament, even when the committee and Parliament considered the amendments to the Defence Act last year and eventually passed the amendments to the Defence Act, because those amendments to the Defence Act will have a bearing on the regulations which are then passed or promulgated and even actually gazetted by the Minister of Defence. So it is within that context that I would say that we would rather be cautious about that. But if that's what the committee wishes or Parliament wishes, what we do.
Another problem.
Chairperson, the DG is quite correct. But I think what is essential in this specific bill is that when we talk about the military veterans and specific, when we go to clause 25.1a, the criteria that must be met in order to qualify for benefits, the means test, that is an essential matter of this whole bill. And that's why I supported the colleague, because it is of such essence, the means test and the criteria, that I think at least that we as members of Parliament should approve these regulations in this specific bill. So I support whether it's a proposal or a suggestion, I don't know yet, but let's make it a proposal then or amendment that in this specific bill that the regulations be approved by this committee, by Parliament.
Okay.
Thank you.
Agreed. Did you?
Chair, just for clarity, does that mean all of the regulations or the specific to what is in 25.1A regulations on the criteria that must be met in order to qualify for benefits? Because there's a whole host of areas which have to be regulated, as indicated in B, C, D, as well as E. So I just need to know clarity on that.
Chairperson, I don't have a problem if it's all the regulations, because, I mean, let's take the Firearms Control Act, for instance. All the regulations were submitted to the Portfolio Committee in the end. But I will be satisfied, because that is, as I said, the essence, if we submit the criteria for approval. I won't have a problem for that, with the other regulations, because, as I said, that the criteria for me is part of the essence of where you have to critical aspects in this whole bill, only two. The one is the definition of a military veteran, and the other one is then the criteria. That is the soul of this whole bill. And then I will be satisfied if I understand. I see where the DG is going. It's a lot of work and a lot of regulations, and then we have to wait for the committee to go through everything. It's still another time. In that sense, Chairperson, I will be satisfied if we say that the criteria is submitted to the Parliament for approval.
The criteria. DJ? Agreed. Thank you very much. Then that takes us to the 27th funding. Agreed. 28, repeal of laws. 29, short title and commencement. 28. I understand that the department is going to resubmit a redrafted bill for final discussion, and then we will wait for the department to do that, and then the bill will be out of our hands. Is the procedure. Honorable Daniel.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, last week, on requesting your indulgence when we were deliberating on the dependent, the legal did explain about the limitations of us putting legal in clause 1, subsection of the no subsection in line 5, the dependent. We in dependent in relation to a military veteran means any person who is dependent on the military veterans for support and maintenance. And we suggested that we put legal before dependent, and the legal told us that will be limiting, because the other definition of a legal dependent in and I'm now suggesting that we not put legal, in fact we put factual. That in relation to a military veteran means any person who is factually a dependent or was. Because remember, we said a military veteran, we're talking also about military veterans who are no more, who are supposed to be benefiting out of this bill. Factually a dependent was before the military veterans parted, or currently, factually, because remember, they are dependents, they are close dependents, and then they are, what do you say,
extended family.
Yes, that chair. But all I'm trying to say is that we put, instead of legal, we put factual. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable members, are you aware that a dependent, any dependent, you still have to prove that that is the dependent? If they are not direct descendants to you, you'll have to do an affidavit. I'm sure we are aware about that. But now that is the suggestion.
Chair, I'd be interested to know from the legal advisors whether factually is a legal test.
We have legal advisors here. Can I go?
Chairperson, yes, I'm not aware of other laws which contain the word, but the court would give it its ordinary meaning, and it would depend on the facts of the case. So, as the chairperson alluded to, there would have to be a finding that the person is indeed dependent, and it might be done by way of an affidavit or so. It's for the committee to decide to include that word or not to include it.
And the finding should give the dependent legal status, isn't it?
Yes, that person would then be a dependent as defined in the Act. Bill.
Honorable Kunagal. Jefferson, if I read the definition here, it says in relation to a military veteran means any person who is dependent on that military veteran for support and maintenance. Now, if you say factual, it is actually confirming what we are saying here. Legally, the way I understand it, it is there should have been a court order or something. For instance, that... what's better, in Afrikaans we say someone can have a better ethnic kin, but you still have legally have to support that child. What is it? Extramarital. Is that the correct one?
Extramarital
child or something like that. But I mean, then still, I think maybe the Honourable Meneer, I think it was his proposal to say legally. Colleague, was it not a proposal from your side? I don't understand. Why don't we leave it as it is?
Yeah.
No, he wants us to be specific in identifying the people who are dependent. Rather than following this proposal, that is where we started to debate this legally. But then our chair, I can't follow what the conversation is.
Honorable members, I was of the view that the law already provides for that. If you have a dependent, the dependent must have a legal standing in the law.
Yes.
I think that is already what's happening in the law, unless if there's something else. Legal advisors, is that not the position? You can't just go in the street and claim that this person is my dependent without giving that person, and that person get benefits from the state without proving to the state that this person has got legal standing. Whether you put legally or factually or you leave it as it is, you are still going to follow that process. Maybe maybe it should, because we don't know the source of this legal, maybe we should leave it as it is, as the honorable member suggests. Daddy?
I somehow agree with the chairperson that if you were to put legal dependent, to some extent, it limits the dependence to the spouse or the child of the veteran that is legally, and normally that's what courts are likely to support the definition if you say legal. You cannot have, or we do not have universal kind of maintenance whereby a person is legally bound to maintain a sibling or a parent or a child of a cousin unless if it is declared so by the court. So if we say legal, we are limiting the relationship between the veteran and the first degree relationship between the spouse and children. So that could be the meaning if we are to say a dependent is a person who is a legal dependent. But then if it is the decision of the house that there could be other cases that can arise, then I would support a further suggestion by the honorable member of inserting the word factual. When we check the previous Military Veterans Affairs Act, it defines a dependent. It puts both the ways. It defines a dependent, among others, as a person who is otherwise legally or factually dependent. So it covers both. To say, if you are not in a position to cover the legal part, then facts should then determine that person as a dependent. So I would support the view that we either put the two ways, legally or factually, or on the other hand, we just eliminate them and retain the definition as it stands, wherein it doesn't mention the word legal or factual at all.
Thank you very much. Chair, I think we should go back to the original purpose. I mean, the original purpose is to, I would think, specify and to some extent limit the number of dependents that may be eligible for benefits. Now, I mean, if one does go back to the 99 Act, perhaps the remedy is to use the two tests as they were used in the 99 Act, legally or factually. But then if you look at the 1999 Act, there's also a sub-clause C, which says, and or who complies with requirements and conditions which may be prescribed. So, I mean, we could, perhaps the solution is to say that a dependent is a legal dependent, or another person who complies with requirements and conditions as prescribed in regulations. Because the difficulty is that the department are going to be faced with potentially with thousands of individuals claiming that they are indeed dependents and are therefore entitled to benefits. I think there's an onus on us then to ensure in the legislation that the test for those of who would qualify factually as dependents, that they that test should be set out in regulation.
Honourable.
Chairperson, I will support that because it is in the 99 Act and it actually described what we mean by that, and it includes the factual as well, but let there be no misunderstanding as far as that is concerned.
We need to decide. I think I would also agree with if we have to put any adjective, legally alone will not be sufficient to cover your concerns, Honourable Daniels. I'm just thinking of extended families, yes. And we should put it legally and factually. If we don't leave it as it is, because as it is, it's still fine, we can put legally and factually. And
Chairperson, the fact that we will not be saying anything different from the market suggests that we can proceed.
So we put in legally and factually. Okay, thank you very much. Department, when are you coming back to resubmission? Oh, tomorrow? It can't be tomorrow. we are still in on our. We need to give you a chance to come back and resubmit and redrafted the. But it can't be tomorrow. I was telling me that we're supposed to continue with the deliberation of this bill tomorrow, but we are done with it today. We did all the clauses up to clause 29. Now you go and work on it, and then you submit it to the committee for next week. Will it, that be right? You have it on your.
It can be ready next week then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then we'll do it next week. Then, in that case, our meeting is adjourned. Until next week, thank you very much, Honorable.